Welcome to On the Up and Up. I'm your host, Kira LaForgia, and every week I'm bringing you behind the scenes of running a successful business. Join me while we laugh, learn, and connect on mostly HR inappropriate topics with successful founders, diverse leaders, and kick-ass employees. It's true, your HR lady may have fired your bestie or made you sign a love contract, but we also have all the hot gossip that will make you better at your job. Whether you're on your way up the corporate ladder, are a fellow HR villain, or are building a culture as a rising entrepreneur.
Welcome back to On the Up and Up. I know that coming into this episode, there's been so much going on in the world of employment law with our new administration in political office, and nothing short of an inundation of rumors going around about things like our Equal Employment Opportunity Commission and DEI and those initiatives. And so I would be remiss to not address that that is what is in the zeitgeist of conversation before going into the recording of this episode. So I just want to say that the best way to get information about all of these developing topics that is clear and direct and straightforward and is curated for your small business is to subscribe to our newsletter, which we're going to include in the show notes. So every week-ish, we're going to be sending out an alert or a summary or just like our normal, like if you're already on the newsletter list, you already know this, any update that our small business founders that are in our communities, in my DMs, that I'm friends with, our clients, all of that, are asking about. And the truth of the matter is that this podcast is meant to connect with other business owners, to share perspectives from other founders, to be a place where I, as a small business owner with this very unique bend of expertise having to do with team development, scaling, and leadership and compliance, can talk through decisions that I'm making in my own agency that hopefully you can pull from and also know that they're well informed based on things that we should be considering, like legal implications and things like that. The newsletter is going to just be a little bit more of a, like, you need to know this right now. Here's something to keep in mind. Here's something that you need to know to keep you out of hot water. Because the reality is that the labor laws at a federal level, there's over 180 of them, only just crack the surface of the purpose of HR and HR's functionality in business. And it can be difficult for a small business owner to understand the link between HR and what is going on with the productivity of their team. So our newsletter really cuts through that and just kind of gets that information out to you week over week. And it's very much curated so that somebody that is spreading information about DEI or the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission or whatever is maybe talking about those things on a high level scale, people talking about Target and, you know, Costco and their varying beliefs and value systems and how that's showing up and how they're doing business. But those might be really interesting topics in like pop culture or, you know, even just our day-to-day lives and how we want to show up and support. But it's probably not that relevant to you as a small business owner. So as a CEO, as a founder of a small business, we live in a very unique world. And that is exactly who this newsletter is going to speak to. So we're not going to waste a lot of time worrying about things that we're not supposed to be worrying about. And we're going to stay really focused on the things that are actually going to be, we're paying attention to those in the interest of the development of our businesses. So just to get that little aside out of the way, today's episode is all about kind of the journey that I've been on to step into 2025 and into this next phase of business ownership. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the word of the year that I chose. So if you listen to episode 101, you're going to kind of see the process of getting there. And then also a little bit about a book that I recently read and was recommended to, and the decision that I made to hire an assistant and what that looks like for me and how it's been paying off. So my assistant Sierra hasn't been with us for even a whole month yet, but I've already noticed some big differences. And this is not my first go around of hiring an assistant. And so I want to talk a little bit about what I changed this time in order to make it work for me. And before I even get into that, there's like, I just have to say that there is just so much that has opened up for me in regards to my mindset, my health, physical and mental, my being able to prioritize, clearing out some of the dust that was floating around in my head, that having a dedicated assistant has been able to help me get to. And at the end of this year, I hope to look back and listen to this episode and think that that was an incredible decision that I made at the end of last year. I keep wanting to say we, because obviously having a recruiting department and having my team go out and find this person for me is a great privilege. But it also was, I just want to focus on like my journey in here too. So not to sound super self-centered or anything like that, but I want to give the credit where credit is due up front. Being able to find the right person to fit in the right role in any position in your business is absolutely integral to that role actually creating an ROI for you. But particularly in this case, big shout out to Ashley, our recruiter, for really taking the time to understand what I needed and really go out and find the right fit. So I'm very happy to say that it's going well. Now, taking a couple steps back, I want to talk a little bit about my word of the year. And coming off of last year, I was missing something. There was something that I was just kind of feeling a little stagnant about in regards to business and life and everything. And I know that, you know, when you're approaching burnout, that is what you can feel. And I think that the ups and downs of the year really kind of taught me a lot of lessons. For more on that, just go back and listen to episode 101. But one thing that was really clear to me was that the intentions that we set at the beginning of a year or at the beginning of a quarter, or beginning of a week or a day or hour or whatever are essentially make things inevitable for you. So depending on, you know, what you believe in and how you navigate your belief system or mindsets or whatever, for me, it's a little bit less spiritual and a little bit more tactile. And I tend to kind of put an idea out there and then have a lot of faith that the universe or whatever is going to bring me to where I need to go to get there, but I have to be an active participant. It's not just going to come to me super easily. So I'm not afraid of a little bit of hard work, but at the end of the day, that's sort of what last year's word turned into. I just wasn't sure exactly what I needed going into the year. And so I chose the word curious because I wanted to be kind of finding a little bit more joy in the day to day. And I kind of found that through the process of getting curious about what's out there, kind of breaking down little barriers that I had set for myself, boundaries that I had created that were no longer serving me, and challenging my beliefs about where my time and energy and effort should be going. And it really yielded quite a lot of results, especially once it was fully embraced in the fourth quarter of the year. So coming off of a year of curiosity, I wanted to make sure that I took some time to really be intentional about the word that I chose for this year. And I know that, like, you know, words are just words. So like you can say whatever your word of the year is. In 2023, I think my word of the year was no. So just kind of showing you how I feel about that. But I wanted to really take some time to kind of identify what that is and how that's going to manifest moving forward and how I think it already is starting to connect for me with the actions that we've been taking and leading up to for the business, the actions I've been taking for myself, my personal life, as well as the topic that we're going to talk about today, which is basically hiring an assistant and getting some support so that you can show up fearlessly and unapologetically in the direction that you want to grow. So my word of the year this year is connection. And the reason for that is because once I started to notice that curiosity bubbling up again and having a lot of desire to learn more, I started to rediscover what motivated me to keep creating this business in the first place. And a lot of that was not just the novelty of learning new things, but it was also that I am a people person. So not just by my career, but the reason that I wanted to do HR in the first place and how I got here in the first place after a very long, primarily operations-driven career is because I believe that the whole point of everything comes down to your relationships, whether that's your personal relationships, your relationships with your team, or your relationships with yourself. And over the last few years, with things being up and down, especially in relation to connectivity, I've just noticed that that perspective and that connection with others is what always makes me feel like I'm living my purpose. So instead of just reacting to things coming my way, I'm actively seeking out connection with other people. So whether that's on social media, hopping on a coffee chat, you know, things like that, those are not the things that drain me. they are the things that light me up. Even if it doesn't yield results, which I understand that some people are going to be really cutthroat about that, the connection with other people is what I believe we are here to do. And the whole reason that we're not just a bunch of robots. So while we are, of course, leveraging AI in our business, I do think and delegating a lot this year, there's a lot of delegation going on. It's not to create less connection, it's to create more meaningful connection. And I think that by shifting my mindset into a place of seeking out those things that always leave me feeling filled up and making sure that I'm caring for myself and my schedule in a way that allows for the prioritization of connecting with others and not taking it so literally about like certain boundaries and things like that, I'm already noticing a difference in the way that I'm approaching connecting with our clients, connecting with future clients, connecting with partners, connecting with my friends, connecting with my family, and just knowing that the joy of those coffee chats, those connection calls, those conferences is not in the tangible things that you bring home or the amount of business that you book or whatever the case may be, but it's about the actual experience of connecting with other people and kind of feeding off of each other's energy and having the goal of enjoyment, but also just kind of breaking through predetermined barriers. And as a neurodivergent person with ADHD, I find that a lot of times I'm only motivated by the end result. And apparently this is very common. So once you kind of attain something or achieve something, it's just a relief because you're constantly working towards something. And then once you finally creatively figure out how to get there, then it's kind of, you're kind of left with a little bit of a now what? And so I am trying to pay really close attention to that and know that if my goal at the end of each day is to feel connected to my team, connected to my life, connected to my business, connected to our clients, my peers, the people that make all of this worth it, then that's really the ultimate goal. Of course, we want to be able to feed our families and stuff like that. And I'm not trying to say anything here that is going to make anyone feel like they don't have the privilege to do it. But for me, it feels a little bit like a self-fulfilling prophecy is that the more I reach out and seek out authentic connection, friendship, and kind of those moments of pushing your perspective a little bit out of your comfort zone, the more rewarded I feel throughout the day-to-day of my life. And with my business being a huge part of my life, felt relevant to share here. So not only am I just choosing the word, but I'm choosing the intention. And I've put a few things in place to make sure that I'm getting that connection this year. And one of those things was decided back in November and December of last year, which was to hire an assistant. Now, I read a book. Actually, I finished the entire thing in one sitting. And I was previously kind of resistant to go down the path of reading this book. So it's called Buy Back Your Time. It's by Dan Martell. Dan Martell is kind of like one of those techie bro-y guys that I don't always relate to the messaging. I have some internalized bias against kind of taking advice from someone who obviously lives a very different life than I do. But one of the reasons that I wanted to read it is because it was so highly recommended to me and it kind of landed in my lap at the perfect time. So for me, I had already decided that hiring an assistant was going to be the natural next step. Being a person that is skilled in, you know, hypothetically, and an expert in building teams, I could see that there was a lot of things that I was doing on a day-to-day basis that was kind of sucking the life out of me and not putting me in a position to fully show up as myself and to create these connections that sort of keep putting the gas in the tank for me. And so when this book was recommended to me, it was kind of begrudging from one of my friends who's also in our space. And she was like, I know I didn't really want to like it, but I really wish I would have read this years ago. And so that's really why I wanted to talk about it today. So I'm not going to give you like a whole rundown of everything that went down in the book. But if I had to and was kind of asked to summarize it all in one sentence, it would be the same exact reason that Paradigm exists in the first place is to leverage other people and other people's skill sets in order to free up the time to make more money or to make more impact or to live more of an aligned life that you want to have. And we really cannot do this ourselves. in the past when I've hired assistants, it's always turned into kind of, they are an assistant to the company, which is sort of a weird way to say it became a catch-all of a lot of different tasks that then sort of lumped this person in a position of working for the company instead of directly working for me. So kind of landing me back into the place where I started, but also effectively creating a position that my company really needed. So this happened in the past, not only in this company paradigm, but also in my, you know, quote unquote, full-time job as a COO. As I moved up the ladder and became, you know, a site manager to an operations manager to the director of operations and HR to primarily focusing on HR and then sliding seamlessly into the COO position. There's been so many times when I've been like, I just need help with all of these things, and all of those things end up becoming a position of their own, a different type of lead, a client relations person or something like that. And so this time I knew that the one boundary I had to make for myself was that this person was going to be somebody that I could be unapologetically myself with, that I enjoyed talking to, that I can trust right out the gate, and that is literally here to support me and my needs. And this was really, really hard to, like a hard decision to come to. Of course, once I decided to make this investment and sent the team off and running, finding me the right person, putting together a job description that outlined a lot of the things that I personally needed help with every day, it started to become more and more clear how many mistakes I've made in the past. So that's why I picked up this book. So first and foremost, I just want to acknowledge that I don't normally read books written by the bro-y, techie marketing guy men or the people that sort of run in those circles. And I watched a few YouTube videos. I made sure that the values weren't totally misaligned, and bought the book, sat down and read it. And I will post on my Instagram stories what the book looks like now, because I already had my assistant in place. We were onboarding them on January 6th, and I read this book on January 1st. So essentially the way that the book starts out is it sort of just kind of makes the case for hiring an assistant in the first place. So I didn't necessarily need that because I was already off and running. Another thing that this book does is it pulls a lot of quotes and information from other folks who are experts in their field. So it's not necessarily all these original thoughts, but they're sort of compounded into almost a research-based book that put everything together to help you best prepare for a situation in which you have your own assistant. So previously I've made the mistake of hiring an assistant. This time I was really grasping onto my assistant, my person that is going to help me get to my goals at the end of every single day. And I think that that's a huge differentiator that I want to talk about that comes up a lot with our clients and folks in the small business or online remote business space, is that when you think about hiring an assistant, you automatically go to virtual assistant because they may not be a personal assistant that's in your house or whatever the case may be. But the reality of the situation is that a virtual assistant is going to be able to kind of catch the things that you throw to them. But a true assistant to a CEO, to a founder, to any position that may have an assistant role is actually going to need to be slightly more advanced and have a specified skill set so that they can make a difference and move the needle without continuous instruction, which is why this person needed to be classified as an employee. So first and foremost, in order for your assistant to make a difference to you, they need to be classified as an employee so that you can indicate when they work, how they work, how they communicate, how they deliver materials, when they need to deliver materials, and you can make sure that all of your personal company information is protected. Some of you may be thinking, oh, I have an assistant and, you know, they are a VA and, you know, they get what I need done. But really, this never would have moved the needle in my business had I not had the power to have control over how I wanted to work with this person, whether it's just the way that we're kind of figuring out how things go, or, but I would have had to hold back had they been a contractor position, not being able to really indicate the times when we would be meeting or when I want things done or how I want them done. Those are all attributes to an employee role. So keep that in mind. Are there cases in which that may not be true? Yes. When you start to get into more of an executive, a fractional executive assistant or a lifestyle manager or something like that, which I have a really good friend that also gave me some great advice on this journey that I'll have come on the pod if you guys are interested. So make sure you let me know if that's something that you want to learn more about. But for those at my level, so we have 6 people on the team total. We have several different offers. We're fairly established and we're moving in the direction of expansion and scaling. This role needed to be someone that I didn't have to wait on. Now, do I need Sierra to just do everything I say right when I say it? No. And that's not what we built out the role for. Otherwise, it would have been a full-time salaried assistant. But it is a part-time role where we've indicated the days and times when I know that I'm going to need that support and that I can count on that support coming through. In the past, I thought I was really chill. And I was like, yeah, it's totally fine if somebody gets to my email inbox in a couple of days or asynchronously or whatever the case may be. And I learned that I kind of grew out of that a little bit. You know, it was always really nice to have asynchronous support in my inbox, but it feels like with where I want to go next, I need there to be somebody there that can kind of catch things as I drop them instead of when I'm intentionally tossing it to them, if that makes sense. So the book talks a lot about how to know what to delegate to your assistant and how to know what not to. And here's my 2 biggest tips. So first, you have absolutely no idea how much time you're spending in reactive communication. So the book talks about this a little bit, but I also teach this to our clients when they are looking to hire people to come on their team and take some of the delivery off their plate. And the number one thing that we need to do, especially if you're a neurodivergent business owner, is to make sure that you have the support in place to not be having to be constantly reactive. Because depending on how your brain works, when we are reacting, checking our email, checking our social media, we're conditioned to think that those things are urgent. There's little red bubbles. There's a notification that pops up. You know, there's bold lettering that says something's unread. And all of that is put into place, not only so it doesn't go unnoticed, but also so it creates urgency within us. And what that will do is totally derail your thought process based on what you're working on. And Dan Martell kind of brings that up a little bit in the book too, is that this is all an exercise in the basically unapologetic protection of your time. So the very first thing you're going to want to do is figure out how your email inbox serves you and get the hell out of there. So whatever you need to do to set up your inbox to make sure that you're seeing what you need to see and not seeing what you don't is going to be first. And I had a goal for myself that I was going to start out fairly liberally. We're going to create a couple of labels, have them in the inbox. We went with a needs response, a please review, and a ASAP, where basically my assistant Sierra can plug emails into the boxes where they need to go. And then that way it's just keeping me right at the top of my inbox and I'm not really worried about what else is going on in there. Over time, you know, in the beginning, she's going to continue to learn what I need to see versus how she can respond on my behalf, things like that. But for the time being, it's just about kind of creating a sample size of an ongoing training opportunity to make sure that I am not tempted to or needing to pop into my inbox at any random time throughout the day. Our clients and our offerings are also geared around a different platform. So when our clients need us, we're in Slack, things like that. So that's that's kind of a discussion for another day on how to reduce reactivity when you are in a client-facing position within your business. But for now, even just getting the email out of my way was like number one. Number two was that if I'm going to train how I want to live and work in my life, then I need to be unapologetic about what my day, my week, my time looks like and where it goes. And so then becomes the challenge, which was really, it's really tough for me currently even, of letting go of who's in charge of my calendar. So my goal for myself is that my calendar is set. There's not going to be any meetings added in or anything like that by the Friday of the previous week, technically Friday morning, because we're done for the day at noon on Fridays. So essentially when I go into the weekend, there's very few situations that are going to pop up on my calendar over the week that I wasn't previously aware of. So this is going to help me be more prepared for the calls and the meetings and the events and things like that that I need to show up for. And it's also going to allow me to plug in my own personal needs. So for example, needing to record podcast episodes, needing to record YouTube videos, needing to go on a walk to work out, you know, stuff like that. that is all going to be preset before I go into the weekend. So the way that we do that is you create kind of your perfect week on the calendar. And Dan Martell goes into great detail about this. So I would highly recommend picking up the book. But another resource that I found was this person named Zion Kim has a resource where it's kind of like a mini course about how to, it's for executive assistants, but I use the resources in there to kind of create a training path for my assistant. And one of the first things that I did was just basically copy paste the perfect week template into our now Google tabbed Google Doc for my assistant. So she can go in and mine the events that we have coming up. She can understand the scheduling. She can understand what she wants, what I want my schedule to look like, all of that good stuff. One other change when it came to the calendar is understanding that there, I was putting in all these blocks of breaks and things like that. So when I would have a day of calls that maybe started at 9 a.m. and ended at 6, it really did feel like I was on Zoom from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. because the calls are maybe 15 minutes apart or 30 minutes apart. And when you need a break, it's spent eating or dealing with your body or, you know, whatever the situation is that you have going on personally or, you know, whatever. But it's never going to be going towards anything productive. So the first thing I did was to shorten the windows of time that I have availability. So instead of having a 9 o'clock to 6 o'clock day, it's a 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock day with a lunch break in the middle. And that's it. And if we need to extend for any reason, it's because every other opportunity to solve a problem that has to be synchronous has to fit within this category, or we go over to the next available time slot. There are very few things in business that are really an emergency. And when they are an emergency, they're usually handled just fine on Slack asynchronous voice memos, which my team also has access to. So they can handle those things on their own. The other thing that I think is a big deal, and I'll be updating you guys on this as we go, but it's kind of changing my job description a little bit. So instead of being the person that is delivering on all of our products, services, you know, all of that good stuff, I am now primarily the salesperson for the company. So being able to kind of shift that mindset and know that when I do have to be face to camera, it's planned ahead, it's planned in advance, and I can work around those things. With the second added layer to that of knowing that my number one priority is going to be the thing that is going to be needle moving in the business, which is sales. Now, depending on where you are in your business, this may not be where you're at just yet. And we might need to get your company staffed first in order to kind of put you in that role. But that also uncovered an area for me where I started to realize in throughout the reading of this book is that the most urgent and important information and emails that are coming in through my inbox are sales emails. So we immediately tweaked our job description post for our assistant, for my assistant, to also have a little bit of a focus on delivering sales information to potential clients coming in. So even if there is just a slight overview of how our processes work, how our services work, you know, payment processes work, things like that. But the difference is that Sierra is still my assistant, not the company sales assistant. So keeping that in mind and always coming back to that checkpoint is really, really important for me because I'm a natural leader. My whole job is to teach leadership. So I'm constantly looking for and seeking out opportunities where people's strengths can shine so that we can put them in positions to make a difference in the business. It's really hard to do that when the person's primary goal is to help you every single day. So it's a totally different managerial relationship between you and your assistant and you and maybe my Kylie, who is our lead on the delivery side of things and all of our clients' favorite person. So just kind of understanding that the managerial aspect of an assistant is totally different. There's a few things that Dan Martell talks about in the book that were huge takeaways for me when it comes to kind of moving into this direction. But I will say that most of it is, it's definitely worth reading, especially if you're holding back on hiring somebody that can help you. But I feel like with his advice coupled with my advice, you're going to be in a really good spot. So while we had come from different areas and backgrounds and businesses, I wanted to just kind of put this episode out there with the overarching theme of we're trying to create more connection in the day to day. I need to embrace myself as the primary sales and marketing person for my business. And I already know that I deserve and am going to benefit from having an assistant. So a huge chunk of this book is going to walk you in the direction of convincing you to get one. But I hope that you take that and you walk away with it for how it's actually adding value to your day to day. And then from there, I want there to be some practical and tangible tips. Like you treat your manager or you manage your assistant a lot differently than you manage the rest of your team. I look to my assistant for helping me to prioritize and hit my goals that I have each week. Whereas I look at my team members as people that I'm showing up in support of each day. And the relief of knowing that there's somebody there that can catch all the balls that I'm accidentally dropping instead of just the ones that I'm tossing intentionally has been a really cool experience. And it's really opened up not only a lot of time on my calendar, but also a different type of mindset to help me prioritize what's really going to matter to me. So even if that control of like losing control of your calendar, or losing control of your day-to-day or, you know, whatever the case may be, feels a little bit scary or sketchy, just know that at the end of the day, you're delivering information that is going to keep everything on track. You're going to deliver a template for what you want your perfect week to look like to your assistant. You're going to deliver a template to how you want to approach your inbox. And so you're really just maintaining a higher level of control and then obviously trusting that the person that you put in this position is going to help you get there. So all of that is to say, the biggest takeaway that I took away from this book, it's called Buy Back Your Time, is that, and I think about this all the time, is that he mentioned some statistics about like when you retire, how the decline of life happens. People get sick, they get like elderly people start to get injured. Their life, according to Dan Martell, becomes less productive, and therefore you don't have a purpose. And we've all heard, you know, if you're not growing, you're dead. And I think that there is a little piece of me that maybe needed to hear that, because I think that there's so much information out there that's pulling you in all these different directions when it comes to prioritization, that sometimes we're going to get locked up in like, well, I need to save for my retirement, or I need to, you know, what am I going to do if I don't own a home, or blah, 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 blah. But that is all like an old school model for living, which was basically geared around the fact that you work your ass off until the day you retire, and then you enjoy a few years of freedom, and then you die. And the thing that I took away from this book was, if you're not always so focused on getting to the point in your life where you don't have to work anymore, then you're going to create a situation that doesn't feel unsustainable in the long term. And I think that as business owners, we have such a privilege to do that. But for me, the biggest hump that I had to overcome was some humility and knowing that I did need help. And also identifying the areas where I may have gone wrong in the past. And a lot of that came down to people pleasing and or putting everything else above me, including the needs of my company. So if I could go back, I wouldn't do anything differently, because I do think that people are in the right seats. But I can guarantee you that I will never go another month without having an assistant that's dedicated to me. Even if Sierra ends up being our kick-ass sales assistant one day or salesperson one day, because I'm already noticing some strengths there, then that's great. But that doesn't mean that it's at the expense of me having the support that I need to live the life that I want. And I just feel like that was a really big takeaway for me. So all of that is to say that I really do recommend this book, especially if you're on the fence about hiring someone to help you, or, you know, whatever the case may be. I think that the best possible situation is that you are strategic about what this person is going to do for you. And if you start to see that it's pulling you in a direction that is going to get you more support for your social media or your business, or, you know, something that's going to require more training than just this is how my brain works and this is how I like to work, then we probably need to think about staffing your business in a different way. An assistant is not the right move. And also to just kind of show you the power of an in-house employee assistant, especially if you are one of our clients and you're already set up to have employees, this would be the next thing that I would highly recommend pushing you towards. So thank you so much for always listening to my ramblings on the up and up. I'm excited to get in the swing of this year and share what I learn, but more than anything else, please leave me a review or shoot me a message if you listen to this episode. I would love to hear what you thought or hear what your big takeaways are. And if you can pick up Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell, highly recommend it. I also highly recommend the like actual physical copy, because the amount of post-it notes I have on this thing is crazy, because I was reading it not only from the perspective of what do I need to know to best prepare for my assistant that's starting work in 5 days, but also like what would my clients really benefit from hearing? What would my clients that are trying to get some of their time back benefit from hearing? And I personally love taking on the experimentation aspect of these things. So let me know if you enjoyed it and if you enjoyed this episode, if you thought it was helpful. Let me know if you read the book, if you enjoy the book. And as always, reach out if you need support finding any of these people, because we do have a recruiting department that can figure out exactly what you need. And I couldn't be happier with the match that was made for me. So we, you know, this extends outside of just hiring assistants, but also hiring people that are on your team that are going to be moving the needle for you. So reach out for that too. And in the meantime, make sure you're signing up for our newsletter, because I have quite a bit to say about the recent developments having to do with the political environment that we're living in. And I would love for you to see those come through. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.